Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA. Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Right back here to Marvelous Mondays. It is election season, and give me a minute. I'll be right back to you.
Nobody really needs or wants home security until it's too late. You've heard the statistics about how many burglaries there are per day. You see the news. You know there are people out there that do bad things. The best way to help protect your home and your property is with an ADT monitored system from Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider. Call right now to get a free wireless home security system valued at $850. An ADT monitored system can help protect your home from fires, theft, floods, and call for emergency help. Call now to find out more about our $850 free wireless home security system and start enjoying the peace of mind of security today. Call 800-561-2351, 800-561-2351, 800-561-2351. This offer is for new customers only. Termination fees apply. $99 customer installation charge and 36-month monitoring agreement required. All for details. License terms and conditions available at secureathome.com.
Thank you, Ms. Rihanna, for that. Okay, we're ready to get going for the evening, and it's so great always to be right back here on Marvelous Monday. And let me tell you, it has been a marvelous and amazing Monday. We got all of these results from across Texas that the people are getting out there to the polls to vote and vote their voice, and they're recognizing that their voices count. So we're ready to get started on this show for tonight, but let me find out if my hosts are out there, my other hosts are out there with me. Mr. Arthur, are you there?
How y'all doing? How you doing tonight?
We're great, Mr. Arthur. I'm telling you, how's the voting looking out there in Dallas, Texas for you?
Hey, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed, too. Go ahead.
We're keeping up with the nation.
We're keeping up with the nation. That's exactly correct. And I have a listing of all of these counties around Texas. We have about 15 or 20 counties that are just going above and beyond what was expected, or what should I say, what was done in the past compared to what we're having now, Mr. Arthur. We ended up last week with a high voting turnout in Smith County, and we're kicking off this second week with the same thing. It's just amazing how people are waking up. Well, we always been woke, Mr. Arthur, but we got a lot to talk about tonight, and we're going to kick off. Well, first of all, let's find out. Let's say happy birthday to Greg. That's Miss Rihanna's husband that turned 49, and he finally caught up with me, 49 one more time. So at any rate, you thought it was my husband's birthday, but it's ex. Yes, it's Greg's birthday. So we want to say happy birthday to Greg, and hopefully they're having a great time out for dinner and enjoying the family and celebrating one more fabulous year. So happy birthday to Greg out there. Do you have anything you want to say, Mr. Arthur?
Hey, just don't eat too much.
And that's what I was doing a little while ago. I've been nonstop today. You know, that working in the polls is just a big fun to be out there and seeing the people come in and being able to help them to cast their votes. It's just an enjoyable thing. But Mr. Arthur, I want to talk to you about the interview that you sent through. That was outstanding. I have forgotten about that, and I'm so glad that you sent that to me so that I can put it in our memoirs. That was a great report, and we have to get Mr. Eric Williams back up and running back here with us, because he was doing some great work out there in filming our shows and everything. Have you heard from him lately?
It was the last time you heard from Mr. Williams.
It's been a minute.
Okay. So let's just check it out.
I mean, so we got to go and chase him down.
Yeah,
his work.
Well, like, I'm finna chase me down. I'm finna do my work.
You want to chase you down? Okay.
Explain
that to me.
Well,
what does that mean exactly?
Well, that just means that I have my work to do, and everybody else got their work to do. So.
We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so shouldn't nobody be chasing nobody. Everybody should just be doing their work.
I miss him. I want to catch up to him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still doing doing a show with him.
No, that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen him in a while. So
yeah,
we need to check on him and make sure he's doing all right.
I'm working with the North Dallas set, you know, right? So I'm into writing now.
Yes, I know. You're into the print now.
Yeah, so I got an author that's going to be coming out. Well, I talked to him, but it'll be coming out next week. But it's going to be in the context of that stuff I sent you today with Pastor Haynes.
Okay. Well, you want to begin by filling us in. Let me tell you what. Don't play with Pastor Haynes, okay?
Don't play with him.
Don't
play with him.
And go ahead, and I'm going to take this call really quickly, but go ahead.
For those of you that remember Jimmy Swaggart, remember, I have sinned, my Lord. I have sinned, my Lord. Yeah, I hear that guy. He his son.
Okay.
So, he said all kinds
I'm back with you. I'm back with you now. So tell me again.
Yeah, I was just telling them that, you know, for those that didn't remember Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned, my Lord, I have sinned. You know that guy. So,
yeah.
But for those that didn't remember.
And he's the one that said he looked at a prostitute, right?
Well, they caught him
twice. He didn't get with the prostitute. He looked at
him. They caught him twice, so we know he looked at him twice.
Yeah. Okay.
So his son decided to go in on a black church a few days ago. I guess about a week, almost a week ago now. And, he said that the Coggig Church once they endorsed Kamala Harris, he called her. He said that they endorsed murder, and so he went down the list. You know what they say? We just out of mind.
Let me see if I can play that, Ms. Arthur.
Okay.
Do you have it on one of your other telephones that you can play it for us?
Essentially, on the thing, if you want to play it, you know, send the.
Okay, let me see if I can.
It's
in our feed.
It's
in our feed. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Let me see if I can. Let me see what I can do.
You can do it while I tell him about Jimmy right quick. I mean, about his son.
While you're doing that, go ahead. Please do.
Yeah. So his son, you know, the perspective was the white church needs to talk to the black church because we don't know what we're doing. See, we spoke in his mind, in his Lilliputian mind. This is Jimmy Swagger's son. You know, we should be voting for a rapist, a 34-time convicted felon. I mean, traitor. I mean, we should be voting for that guy. Right, because otherwise, you know, we just don't know what we're doing. And white folks need to come help us one more time. And I'm going, really? Really? But that's where we're at, though. So, DW, you got yet?
Okay, yes, let's see. Let me come on down here. Okay, hopefully it'll be able to play. Let's see.
Okay.
That you can hear it. Let's
see.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up, but kind of slowly.
But a lot of different pastors have responded to the call.
Oh, is that right?
Including Pastor Haynes. You know, and then like, but the best response was from a brother that said, I worship a nappy-headed Jesus.
Okay, here we go right here.
Okay.
Roland Martin.
You going to do Roland's?
Can you hear it, Mr. Arthur?
No, I can't hear anything.
Okay, let me see. See, I can't. I don't know how to make it good.
Oh, if you go ahead and talk while I speak about it, like cool man. You go ahead and talk about it.
Can you hear? Can you hear it?
And I can hear you.
See, I don't know where my second phone is because I need it.
Let me put it on mine when you talk. I put it on mine.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is worth the people hearing.
And I know that y'all have heard, unless you've been under a rock, you've heard about it.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear you. I can hear it, Mr. Arthur.
Oh, you hear mine? Okay.
Yes, I can hear it.
Okay, so listen to this, and then I'm gonna push it forward a little bit, but you know, this if you can hear it.
Pastor Donnie Swaggart rebuking the black church. It's been all over everywhere, and I'll just be honest with you. I saw this when I saw it. I was really more concerned with what the black church. What y'all gonna say? Y'all gonna let him talk like that? I mean, what he said. Stop all black cookouts everywhere. I'm talking about. It was like that person who cussed in front of Big Mama, you know, everybody looking around like, you didn't see Big Mama over there before you said that? I'm talking about what he said was out of order, and he said people going to say he racist. Sir, you know, if it quacked like a duck, I'm just going to go ahead and call it that. You don't want to miss this video.
I don't hear it anymore, Mr. Arthur. What happened?
Now, this was brought up during one of my meetings, rather, with Dr. Yarbrough. He's been cordial and all of that because I'm not. Church would have made me nervous for a while. He did do that. White, you're a privileged white. You're the white on the top shelf that everybody can't reach. You on the top. Preach the word. Preach the word.
You mentioned that the Democrat Party supports, and we should not vote for them because...
Let it play. Let's go. Well, Pastor Donnie Swaggart, his daddy and Trump has had a lot in common. You know nothing about the black church and its struggles. How do you get the nerve to speak against my presiding bishop and denomination because he did not endorse your criminally convicted candidate? Who I vote for has nothing to do with my righteousness. None of these party candidates represent Christianity. It's not a donkey or an elephant. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Stop giving the...
Anyway, the
church...
Let me find Mr. Swagger.
No, let it roll, Mr. Arthur.
religion in America, and no sitting president can only represent his or her own religious faith. He or she is the president of all people and all faiths and all practices. Are you nuts? It's politics and policies, not principles. That's what we teach in the church on Sunday school and Sunday school. The Bible says all things are lawful but not expedient. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. This means that many laws are approved and given to me, but they are not necessarily for me or practical for me. Just because they took prayer out of school does not mean it was taken out of your house. You did that. Christian believers have to represent God irrespective of who is in the White House, because government will do what it wants to do. However, God is still on the throne. Our sanctification is not governed by the Constitution, but by our devotion to the Word of God in our hearts. Your political party is not your church. The believer is controlled by the house of God, not the House of Representatives. Black people, stop letting white folk tell you how to believe and how to vote. We ain't going back to that. Bishop Brandon B. Porter at Bishop Porter. Bishop Porter, listen, all the members of Bishop Porter Church, y'all need to stand up. Y'all need to stand up and applaud your leader. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because of how he articulated that. That make the policies, y'all, we make it about a candidate, y'all, instead of about policy. I could go way down through that. That's what me and Dr. Yarbrough was talking about, is about policy. We want to make it about, you know, is she black enough? Is she black? Trump and his crimes. Neither one of them, as far as people, qualify. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. But my point of this is not to get into who should win and who should not win. And, y'all, let's be honest. And I've got another video to show you. But there are a lot of influencers out here putting their hat behind one of the candidates to get followers, to get people to subscribe. I don't care about none of that. I do not want you to subscribe to my channel based on a political affiliation. I've had people to say, well, you sound like you must be a Republican. No, ma'am, no, sir. You sound like you must be a Democrat. No, ma'am, no, sir. I go with what God, I look at policy and how it's going to impact my home. That's it. I'm not going no further than that, because that's not what this video is about. But what I was doing is that I was looking, I said, now, this next preacher, I'm going to show you somebody. Now, if this brother, Donnie Swagger, can be as white as he was with his expression of his thought, this brother here is going to be as black as you possibly can get, a protector of the culture, if you would, and very great with his words. But I want y'all to hear what this preacher had to say, one of Texas' own, DFW Metroplex own, Dr. Freddie Haynes. I want to go ahead and get into what Freddie Haynes said. Now, if you're going to be triggered, you might not want to hear what Freddie Haynes said, but I'm going to tell you, he went down through that talking to this brother right here. Donnie Swaggart, I hope you're listening. Pay attention here. Churches set the stage for Jim and Jane Crow segregation, and y'all, they have children who are still doing the dirty deed of toxic theology. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm telling you. Now, I got to give a shout-out to Dr. Myron Williams, because it looks like somebody sent this from his page to me, and I see his watermark that's right there. So I've got to give him a shout-out. Now, he's the international president of the music department of the Churches of God in Christ. So I do want to make that. Go ahead. Let's go.
I saw yesterday that one Donnie Swaggart, who is the son of Jimmy Swaggart, had the nerve from his perch of privilege and prejudice to stand up on a Sunday and call out the black church. Wait, what? He called out the black church. He said, when you support her, didn't even call Kamala Harris by name, but said, when you support her, You are supporting sin and evil and supporting all kinds of stuff. Y'all, I'm tripping as this white boy is calling out the black church. Now, let me park here parenthetically and hope that old Donnie tunes in. Donnie, come here for just a second. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be triggered. You're going to be triggered. He don't care. He's going to go on down through that. Let's go. Because first of all, the fact that there is a black church is a judgment on white Christianity, because there would be no black church had the white church not been more white than they are a church. Oh, I'm on one tonight. I'm letting y'all know that right now. And Donnie, my sisters and brothers, had the nerve to call out the black church because in his mindset, we're supporting Kamala Harris while the white church is supporting Agent Orange, because somehow Agent Orange is the candidate of their God. I get that, because their God ain't my God. My God is the God who showed up in Exodus on the side of the oppressed. My God is the God of divine justice. My God is the God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God loves the world. I guess who's in that world? Palestinians are in that world. Congolese are in that world. Haitians are in that world. Gay folk are in that world. The LGBTQIA community is in that world. God so loves the world, and if you don't love the world like God loves the world, the hell with you, Donnie.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I guess he told somebody.
Well,
yeah.
Anybody that knows Pastor Freddie Haynes knows they don't deal with Dr. Freddie Haynes unless you're ready to go to school, because he's going to carry you to school. Let me tell you, parenthetically, okay?
Nah.
My goodness. That's amazing, Mr. Arthur. I share with you that when I was a little younger than what I am now, that the people, black people would move into Tyler that were members of the Church of Christ, and they may have moved out in a rural community on the southern part of the city, and they would go to the church closest to them, and they were told, well, I'm sure there is a colored church on the north side by the name of North Tenaha Street Church of Christ. They'd be happy to have you all to come over there. So why don't you go over there? This is the address. And they would send the people over, and people would tell the leadership what was been said to them. And so he's right. That division, and I tell you this, Mr. Arthur, Sunday morning is the most segregated day of the week because it's basically still the same. Would you say? Basically still the same.
Some things don't change.
Some things don't change. You're right about it. So so that was quite interesting that this man dealt himself into the business of another church. Wasn't
and see,
his business.
And see, the article
I
that
I'm
supposed
about, to be trying to tell. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so the article that I wrote is kind of it's associated with that. And basically, the concept is, and we talked about it, and we talked about a little bit at that Western government meeting that I went to.
Right.
Basically, you know, the concept is, you know, the black Jesus, what it does for us is, well, number one, that's actually who he is. But, you know, we need to embrace the revolutionary, black Jesus, as we continue our struggle for liberation. And so that's pretty much the concept. And once we do that, then we're into a whole new field, just like, you know, now if you know who your Jesus is, then when you look, when folks like this guy talking crazy, Swagger Jr. You know, it's obvious that they're not serving the same God we're serving. And so,
right, there you go.
By doing that, lays bare the whole program. In other words, they rely on religion for control. Once we challenge with Black Jesus, the revolutionary, guess what? Control gone.
I find it always very interesting because in my teachings by my parents, in particular my mother, she told us years ago as children, she described what Jesus looked like. She described his features. She described his hair. She taught us straight from the Bible of what he looked like. And so it's never been a surprise to me what he looked like, because I always knew what Jesus looked like and his characteristics. And his characteristics were that of my family members. Curly hair. And some the Bible well, describes it as woolen hair.
Skin like bronze. Skin
yes,
like
there
bronze.
You go. There you go. There you go.
Eyes exactly. Like
skin like bronze. That's right. That's right.
And
doesn't that sound like me and you and our family members?
Well, the whole book in the Bible sound like us.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Great point.
So that's who our power is. We understand that and get our preachers in. That's what we talked about at the event. I asked them how we get our preachers to embrace the Black Jesus and do more teaching than preaching. Because why they wondering why these youngsters don't show up? Hey, because they know, they know the deal. You know, they know a lot. You know what I mean? And if you continue to try to push that European Jesus, who under him we got mass incarceration, slavery. Hey, you're saying, the guy ain't heard us.
Right.
We've been hiding for a long time. So we need to grab Black Jesus and roll with him and see what we can do.
Yeah.
I think we'll get a lot further.
What was that last thing you said?
I said, I think we get a lot further with the Black Jesus and so far with the other one.
Well, see, it's always hard for me to relate because he's always been who he is my point that I'm mentioning. So he's always been who he is to me. How he was described in the Bible is how I've always known him to be since childhood. Since my mother had us read the Bible at age 3 and 4 when I learned how to read.
It's like me and you've been knowing it for a long time. But
right.
That's not me and you.
Exactly.
Yeah, the issue is these other people that's using our stuff against us tend to be us. And so, in other words, and we got to pretend that we don't know no better in order to make it work. And I'm just saying that that's mental illness. And so we need to, cure ourselves and just start thinking and studying, right?
Yeah, studying, that's right.
Do research. Just kind of see what's really going on. And actually, I've posted some Jewish guys that said this. They said it was the greatest identity theft in world history.
Okay.
So they pretend to be us. So actually, they're actually pretending to be us. All that stuff. If you go anywhere in Europe and go to a museum to see artifacts, you know what you're gonna see? A bunch of stuff they stole from us. It's sitting there.
Well, we do remember what Mr. Eric Williams, since we were talking about him, we know what he was working on, trying to get, and that's that quilt that was made by his ancestors right here in Texas, just right here in East Texas, to be exact, out there on the plantation where they lived and worked.
A great example. So here in Texas, we got a brother trying to get his stuff they stole.
Exactly.
Long time ago. So I'm saying so.
Long time ago.
So when you see people, just realistically say, okay, what kind of culture did you build? Well, if the only thing you can show me is stuff you stole, that's not a culture.
Wow.
That's a crime syndicate.
Yes, a crime. That's it. That's a crime.
Mm-hmm. So, in my article, I talked about the fact that, folks say, how do we get lost in the Bible? And I tell them that we ain't actually lost the Ethiopian Bible, which is original, has 80, the city of Sekandi, I mean, it's just 88. But anyway, 81 books. The Catholic Church, they got 73. And then, of course, they changed some stuff in the 73, but they got 73. And then King James got 66. So if you want to know how we got cut out, there it was right there. And then they used it for conquest, for manifest destiny, where we go. If you don't believe, we believe you're a heathen and we can kill you. What I mean?
This is what I say about that. If you try to put everything that Jesus said in the 33 years that he was here on earth, because keep this in mind, remember that at the mere age of 12 years of age, Jesus was in the synagogue being about his father's business. So if you looked at from the time that he was 12 all the way up to when he was hung on the cross at the age of 33, there's no way that you can put all of that message in one book. And so I say to people, if you can do what those 66 books do in the King James Version, if you just do those, don't be concerned about anything else that you feel was cut out or it was not able to put in to the book of the Bible because of the fact that, let me just quite finish. Let's think about all the stuff that we say and that we've written down in the years that we've been living. It couldn't go into one book. You wouldn't be able to carry that one book. If we put everything that we have done, everything that we've documented, I even think about my dissertation and how many pages that was. That was just one phase of my life for my dissertation, for my doctorate degree. That was just one little book that consists of.
On individual level, but you understand there was the Church of Nicene. They had the congregation back 325 AD or 329, where they gathered and they did this consciously.
But it was written on scrolls. It was not even written in a book like what we look at today, where we can type up stuff. It was written on longhand writing.
But it's in the open Bible. But it is written. All that stuff, the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that stuff.
I didn't say it wasn't written. I didn't say that it was not written. I said that all of that we would not be able to carry the book. It would be
I'm not talking about me and you. I'm not talking about no individual level. I'm talking about global government. I'm talking about global stuff. I ain't talking about me and you talking and what somebody did when they.
I thought we were talking about Jesus Christ.
I'm saying that when you have the original books, okay, and then if somebody takes some of them out, you can tell me. Well,
How do we know? I did my research.
I'm not the only.
Yeah, but let me ask you this: Do you believe everything that's written?
No.
Do you believe everything that was written?
No, Dr. Clark and all them, they are writers. They are studiers. I mean, I'm studying them. They
made
the stuff.
I understand all that. My point that I'm saying, that I'm making, is that if everything that we've said, just we're just going to use 33 years, even though we know that Jesus started
the Bible
teaching in the synagogue.
The Bible is about more than Jesus, 33 years. Come on now.
No, the Bible was instituted by the 12 apostles and Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about who wrote the Bible. The Bible was written by the 12 apostles and given the inspiration was given to them by God. So my point that I'm trying to...
turns out, in my research, what I found out was Paul was not a disciple. He wasn't one of the 12. He was not one of the 12. He was kind of like... Now I'm going to say what it sounds like to me, just from my research. He kind of sounds like Donald Trump now.
No.
So I'm just saying, and the church going forward, but he was so effective that they used, that he was able to shape stuff. I mean, the religion we know today was shaped by Paul, but Paul was not one of the 12.
That's not true.
Okay. All right. Okay.
The Bible was not shaped by Paul. Is that what you just said, that the Bible was shaped by Paul?
No. I said religious philosophy and theology was shaped by him, not the Bible. The Bible was an ongoing document. I'm saying that his philosophy came through, like heaven and hell.
First of all, Paul was Saul before he became Paul, and he was persecuting the church as Saul. He was persecuting the church, and then when he stopped persecuting the church and learned what the church was about and who was the leader of the church, then he later on became Paul. Now he was a disciple. Paul was a disciple of Christ.
And that's why he sounded like Donald Trump. So he was attacking them. Then he figured, well, you know what? You know, it's too many.
But that was because he was unlearned. He did not know.
I wasn't there.
Who Christ really was.
I wasn't there with him.
Well, you were not there, and neither were the people that you were talking about a few minutes ago was back there in A.D. And after the death of Christ and before and B.C. Before you were not there then either. That's why I'm saying that. Do we really know that books were stolen or taken away? We really don't. That history has been passed on down through generations, and so that's why I say that if we can follow the commandments of the 66 books in the Bible, we already know that the Old Testament was written for our learning. We don't live by the Old Testament anymore. We live by grace and truth, because Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Go ahead.
One thing that it says, Paul did not follow Jesus early in his ministry as he was actually persecuting Christians. Paul was not.
That's when he was Saul.
He was not a disciple of Jesus.
That's when he was Saul.
That's what I'm saying. So he wasn't one of the original disciples because he was Paul.
I already know. No, he was Saul. S-A-U-L. That's who he was before he became Paul.
Right. I'm just saying he wasn't one of the 12. That's all I'm saying.
I get that.
He was a follower of Jesus, but he was not one of the 12. That's all I'm saying about that. He wasn't one of the 12. And so I'm just saying that, and in my research of him, it sounded like a modern-day politician.
There's a lot of people. Think about those people who are atheists that don't even believe, period.
Because he
when he learned better, he did better. He was persecuting the church and Jesus Christ when he was Saul, but when he learned better, then he turned his life around.
where from my study, it sounded like to me, he was persecuting and he was losing, and he figured I come out better joining them than trying to beat them and then do what I want to do from there. And then he got with it, and then he got with the Catholic Church, and then did, you know, and that's when they did their little thing, you know, did a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to tell you. And now I know you know people did politics back then too, right? You do know that. So I'm saying.
Well, the Bible tells us that we are, the Bible tells us to render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's the government.
Yeah.
And render unto God what belongs to God. Really, everything belongs to God. But he was trying. But that message there was trying to tell us that we, as citizens, we are supposed to be involved in what is going on around us. Our laws, to obey the Bible also talks about obeying the laws of the land as long as they don't conflict with God's teachings.
And I'm saying I don't trust King James. I don't trust
you. Don't have to. You don't have to trust anybody that you don't want to trust.
Exactly.
Period. Yeah, that's a preference.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're supposed to put we're supposed to trust somebody, but we're not to put our faith in no man. Period. That's not where our faith lies. However, I trust that if I got into a snafu that I was homeless or I needed food, I trust that Mr. Arthur would come to my rescue. So I trust and believe that he would take care of my needs. And that's another one of the reasons that God placed us here on this earth to do his work.
And all I'm saying is that, and then I'm saying that man is still man, and man manipulates.
You're 100% correct.
I'm saying that you can do all the good stuff. You're supposed to do that. But you still have to understand that the system has been manipulated with the religion and have been misused and abused by people in power.
100%.
Just like today, people in power right now, abusing religion, right now, as we speak.
Or the people in power are mixing religion with the political process with politics.
Yeah,
and
all that.
So that's why Swaggart is saying what he said, and along with a lot his father and others.
Exactly. So here's the deal.
No senator, no congressperson, no president is my religious leader. So they're not running for office to represent my religion. My position as counsel, I'm to represent the ordinance of the city of Tyler, Texas, and the rules and legislate laws that's going to benefit the entire population of the city of Tyler. Now, when it comes to my religiosity, I'm Church of Christ, and that's what I believe in, and that's what I study, and that's what I'm going to always believe. So my point is that when I'm voting for somebody an office, it has nothing to do with my religion. It has to do with if it affects my kitchen table issues.
And can I bring my tamarind if I come in? Can I bring my tamarind?
We don't use tamarinds. Here's God gave us natural talent. He gave us talent. Now you can bring your tamarind to my house, and I pull out my piano, and we have a good time. I play the tamarind, or I play the piano, or you play whichever one you want to play, and I play the other one. We bring it to my house. I play instruments all my life.
And you made the point. You say exactly what I was saying. What would you say about that band? Would you say it again? Because that's my point. You said,
which
what
part,
was it you
which
said?
Part?
When you say about Swagger, what did you say about him? You made a statement that was my point the whole time, and you said it for me.
Yeah, that they try to use religion when it comes to the political process. We know they did.
Some of us know we got to watch that word we, because we include everybody.
I'm talking about me. It's only two we's here talking, me and you. We make we.
Well, no, you and me, we us. We is everybody.
No, I know graphematically, I won't say it. Us, no, exactly. I said we would say we.
Because we are graphematically correct.
We're graphematically correct, so we wouldn't say us know.
I don't have to say we know to you, because I already know you know. So I ain't got to say it to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
My point is, you said what I said, and that's what I said. You said it. And I thank you.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I...
You
listen,
say what
a, people have all... People in this world have always perverted the gospel.
We got a man... We got a man that created a Trump Bible. A Trump Bible with his name and stuff in it. What kind of constitution?
There's a lot of man-made stuff out there, Mr. Arthur. We've been living long enough to know. That's why I say we have to be very careful about that research that you were talking about. Man wrote all of that. Man.
Okay.
Man.
My point, so why would I trust men back then more than I trust the ones now? I don't trust neither one of them back then.
I haven't used – first of all, we don't live in a world all by ourselves. And so we have to establish trust somewhere. And I think I made a great example when I said, if I was hungry, I trust that Mr. Arthur would feed me. And I know he would, because I believe in him as an individual, as a person, as my brother. I believe that he would take care of me if I was hungry.
You're going to trust them. I don't trust them. Because like
now,
said,
who is
again,
them? Now you use that pronoun, I was using the we, because the two of us make we, but now you can use them.
Well, I'm just saying that. I don't trust none of them. I don't trust them people that they rewrote stuff back then, just like they rewrite stuff now. And if they're rewriting it now, I know they was rewriting it back then. And so I'm just saying that.
Let me just say this. I don't believe there is a person living that was smart enough to write that Bible unless they were given the inspiration by the Spirit of God, the Almighty.
That's your belief.
I don't believe. I mean, there's some smart people in this world. There's some smart people in this world, but I don't believe. Listen, there's no way that you can, from that history that I've read in the Old Testament and how things were, I don't believe somebody just arbitrarily came up with that. It had to exist, in my humble opinion. A lot of people don't believe, but I believe. I believe.
I believe in the 66 books in the Bible. Go ahead. The stuff that was written in the Bible was written in some earlier books about 3,000 years prior, and stories are just they're similar, they're recurring, and so I'm saying that a lot of stuff was going on before the Bible was written. Is all I'm saying.
Mr. Arthur, the earth was built in how many days, and who built it, and on the seventh day that person rested. That was the beginning of this world and this earth. Nothing was here before those 7 days where God built this earth. Nothing was here. He brought it here to us.
You know some people that for years, they know the group of people that forever, I mean, until they figured it out, they thought the world was flat. You could fall off the edge of it.
Who thought that? Man. That's right. And man thought that. You're exactly correct.
And if you went and talked to any of them, they swear it was true.
It was man that thought it was flat.
I'm saying,
not God. He knew what it was.
Right. So I'm saying,
and he gave us the inspiration and the brilliance to figure it out. He's the one
right.
that issued out all the talents that we have. He issued them out to us.
BYPU and half cocky. And so I saw it going. And if all these folks here going to hell right here, heaven right here, I wonder what happened to them people before the Bible showed up. Did all of them go to hell? I mean, I'm actually just asking myself that question.
You didn't hear what I just said a few minutes ago. First of all, the Bible was written by the inspiration of that God gave to his apostles that worked for him.
That's how
the Bible came. There was nothing but in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. That's Genesis 1:1. It was no books before that. It was nothing before that. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created that.
Nobody created
that but him. Tell me who could put a woman and a man together to produce a seed to bring forth children 9 months later. The Bible talks about all of that.
I'm not here to, if I wasn't there, right, so I'm not going to say. But all I'm saying is that.
But you are here. You hear that. We both are here. We are here.
Okay, we're going to use that analogy then. Okay, so Adam and Eve wrote the Bible. Is that what you're telling me?
No, sir. God gave the inspiration to the apostles to write. When you see writing in red, those are specific words that he's saying.
So when did the apostles show up?
I don't know when they showed up. I can't remember when they showed up. I just know who showed them up. Well, Cain, it was two. Okay, so Adam and Eve, what happened with Adam and Eve? They ate of the fruit of not the tree of the fruit of knowledge in the garden. They were in the garden naked.
See, I'm not the writer. I'm saying, when did the scribes start scribing? Is what I'm asking. And I'm saying that, per the writing, the scribes start, the Bible is like, they started writing stuff down around 1 A.D., 2 A.D., stuff up, and that's when they supposedly started writing. Different ones wrote different books, right? Then they had at that time it was like 80-something books, I think. Then they had the Church of Nicene program, 325.
A.D. means, after the death of Christ. So that meant that God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit was here.
300 years.
And so A.D. is after the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, even though he rose that third day. Go ahead.
300 years later, these guys got together, and they looked at all the books. It was like 88 of them total. And so they picked the ones out they wanted, and then they got rid of the rest. And then you got the Dead Sea Scrolls because people went and hid the rest of them because they didn't want them to destroy them, so they just went and hit them. But the Ethiopian Bible has all of them in there already. Ethiopian Bible has all of it in there. They never did. That's why Ethiopia never got conquered. So they never came and got their Bible and messed theirs up. So they still have the original Bible that's got all those Dead Sea Scrolls chapters in it. And so I'm just saying, as we research it, and I'm just saying that, so now you got Ethiopian Bible or Orthodox Christian Bible, and then you got these other, you got the Catholic Bible, 73 books, you got King James, 66. Now I'm just saying, research-wise, we owe it to ourselves to see what's in them other books. That's all I'm saying. we also have to be curious as to what happened to the books that got taken out. Now we can see them, and I've taken some of them out, and now nobody took them out. I'm just saying, okay. Hey.
Why? Can you educate me on that? Why did they take them?
As religion took hold, the one that converted to Christianity. What was the name? He converted to Christianity because he couldn't control his kingdom, by fighting and killing everybody. So he said, okay. So he embraced Christianity. So he embraced Christianity, got with the Pope, the Church, and then that's when they did the Nicene thing. They took out the books that they didn't like, right? And so basically, as they moved forward, that's when it became more Europeanized. They started doing the conquest, crusades and so forth and so on. So basically they took out the books that describe, number one, the one that described Jesus as a black person, they took all them out. So all them books they took out, most of them talk about that.
No, that's not true, because remember I just told you a few minutes ago that from my teachings as age 3 and 4, Mother read to us, first of all, what the characteristics of Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the and it's the same character. It's the same that's in the Bible today. The woolen hair, the bronze skin.
Sure, I was listening to a program the other day where I looked at it all the time, it kind of overseas program. So but anyway, it was Jewish guy, somebody from Israel war stuff, and so they was talking, and so these two, it was him and this announcer. And they said, and he sat there and said, because they come out, Jesus' race. And this guy, he sat there and said, he said, well, nobody really knows what he looked like. It ain't no description in the Bible. I mean, he sat there and said that while he was interviewing. So I'm saying, it's a lot of information out there, a lot of misinformation out there. And all I'm saying here, I'm just saying, go study. I don't know everything. I don't know everything, but I know when folks lie.
Me too. I don't lie either.
So I know when folks lie. That get on TV. So I'm saying you got a lot of that going on. And so that being the case, folks, let's go do your research. Now, you're right. Like my mom, they taught you right. But they couldn't talk to you them other books because they didn't know, because they hadn't seen them. I mean, they taught you what they knew. They knew the 66. They knew those 66.
Okay, if you have your Bible handy, and I don't have mine in the office where I am right now, but in Revelation, and I know it's like the beginning of the Revelation, and it tells you about Jesus' darker hue. It talks about the hair on his head. That's in Revelation. As a matter of fact, I can pull it up on my own. Okay. Right here. Revelation,
mm-hmm.
first chapter, 14th and the 15th verse describes Jesus' appearance,
mm-hmm.
including his hair, his
mm-hmm.
eyes,
mm-hmm.
his feet were like bronze.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this says mm-hmm. many scholars, Revelation 1, 14 and 15 offers a clue that Jesus' skin was a darker hue and that
mm-hmm.
his hair was woolly in texture.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
hairs of his head, go ahead.
And you got all these white churches every Sunday morning overlook that. And it's in the
I
same
know that, Bible. But the point I'm making to you is that information was taken out of the Bible, because it wasn't.
No,
it's
no,
in
no,
Revelation,
no.
And I learned it as a child, three and four years of age.
Look at that verse. There is in the Bible. Now, the Bible is a lot bigger than one verse. It's a lot bigger than that.
That's why I said the
story.
My point that I was making is that every single thing that Jesus said during the time that he was here on this earth cannot be in one book. And I say also, and I will always say this, I'm going to repeat it one more time. If we did everything that was in the books that would give us our soul salvation, if we just followed those things. But people don't even follow the 66 books in the Bible that tells us how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves.
Well, baby,
that would be enough for us to save our souls. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't do if. I do if alone.
I don't do if. Yeah, I know. Well. Whether I know we don't, and that's you're exactly correct. We don't do it. You're right. If we did do it sometimes, we would be better off.
You stand by yourself and look around. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll move on. Well, what about that Madison Square Garden rally that was held in New York City?
No, that was a Nazi gathering. You know what that was.
It was a what kind of gathering?
It was a Nazi gathering, just like the one here.
A Nazi gathering, okay. I'll buy that.
As they say, quit stain washing.
It's interesting.
I don't know.
We're down to what? Tomorrow be 8 days or 7 days? We're getting close. Yeah, tomorrow will be 7 days. 7 days. So today is the 8th day. So, Mr. Arthur, I want you to know that, and let me make this announcement if you don't mind. Just give me that a few seconds. On next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, we will have a big major watch party. Too, are you able to come for our one that we had early voting rally? But this will be. And that's going to be the headquarters set up for Miss Edith Wilson Mayfield Wilson, who is running for County Commissioner Precinct 3. And her headquarters will be set up in there. And so once again, we're going to have all the food to give away, and we want to bring the children if you want to. We're bringing in the big screen television. And we're just going to have a great time as we watch the party. It's going to start at 6 o'clock, and that's at 2843 Northwest Loop 323 here in Tyler, Texas. And that's located in the Quality Inn Hotel. And starting at 6 o'clock, and we're going to watch until we get some results. And hopefully that Pennsylvania, Mr. Arthur, will be able to tally, because, you know, they don't believe in that canvassing. Where you count your votes as they come in. And now, Mr. Arthur, I'm going to switch you. Did you hear something about some votes were set on fire in Pennsylvania?
No, that was a Russian hoax. That's a Russian hoax.
Okay. I quickly saw that, and I was wondering if that was some AI stuff.
They've been announcing on TV stations, which what they did, which they wasn't doing before. Yeah, they announced it. It was on the news that it was a Russian fake.
Gotcha. Well, they're always trying to interfere in our elections. And the one thing that I know that we cannot do, we cannot allow them to interfere in our elections. We cannot allow that to happen.
Well, we're at the point now where we have to stop them from interfering, not just them, but stop them from interfering in our elections. But our campaign laws have allowed all that foreign technology stuff to do that, and that need to get hold of.
Right.
No, we need to stop it. Not don't let it happen. It already happened. We need to stop it. And Elon Musk, he just showed his hand now.
He definitely showed his hand.
All them big money people that's around Trump, all of them from South Africa. Peter Thiel, him, and all of them from South Africa. Yeah, them apartheid.
Yeah, that's where he's from. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You're exactly correct.
Like I said, so we got, hey, so now it's already happened, but we got to stop it. We got to get it out.
That's,
you know, election shouldn't run no longer than 6 months. It should be a 6-month election period. Before that, no advertising, none of that. And then everybody need to have the same amount of money, same amount of access.
Now you're talking. Now, and that's the way they do in Europe. When I was getting my degree in political science. Go ahead.
Yeah, because right now we have as soon as this campaign over the current system, you got to start a campaign the next day. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I come to people.
We need to start educating the next day. We should never stop trying to educate people on the process and what they need to do in order to stay prepared, study their candidates.
They raise money.
I get it. We need to,
because of the way the system has flipped and turned, organization like AIPAC, who's a foreign organization run by Republicans, to interfere in politics. You know, one thing I want to add to the candidate scorecard we're going to be doing is that we need to know if they're getting AIPAC money. We need to know that because they're getting AIPAC money. They're working against us.
Mm-hmm.
They're working against us. All money ain't good money.
That's right.
If you need money that bad, and I'm going to ask my congressman, Jasmine Crockett, I'm going to ask her when I see her, that will cut off. I want to know, does she get AIPAC money? I mean, I don't think she do, but I know she don't need So I hope she's not taking on that. If she is, I'm going to ask her to stop.
Yeah.
Because they, and they also is against our work.
She's actually your congresswoman.
She's in your
district. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
I know she's 33, and I just didn't know how far that spanned out.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Then once they redraw these lines, I think we're gonna get another congressional seat.
Oh wow, that's great.
Okay. We need to understand that our local representatives, stuff like that, they also influence foreign policy. And
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is the globe is changing. The global
mm-hmm.
economy is changing. Africa has been offered, look here, check this out. They offered, this
okay.
United States, that they've, and I'm sure how much the world changed. They offered Africa
okay.
two permanent seats on the UN Council, right? Without veto power. Well, you know, come on now. Everybody knows what that game is, right? You get two of them
mm-hmm.
up there with veto power, and then you get them fighting each other, right? So Africa said, no, you can't invite me to the table and won't let me eat. We need veto power just like the other permanent members. You know, otherwise, you know, there ain't no deal. So
mm-hmm.
that's associated now. And so what I'm saying is that Africa is rising. They're going to start building and using them and developing their own materials instead of being ripped off. Like Elon Musk, you know, Elon Musk got his money. His daddy went to Congo and all that, stealing uranium. That's how
mm-hmm.
he got his money.
Stealing. Right. That's right.
So after saying we're tired of y'all stealing, and that's why Ibrahim Traore and the other two guests, Niger and them, they kicked the French out. But the French still out doing the same neo-colonial stuff, right? Taking all the resources, complaining about folks coming to their country, but yet they ain't got no life. Millions of the diamonds and gold, ruin the ecosystem. So anyways, finally got time to say, you know what, we develop our own stuff. So let's stay doing that. China, and you need to understand, BRICS, that's China, Russia, so we're not, Brazil, these other countries, they're coming in. Okay, they're coming in and say, hey, look, we're going to help you develop. We're not giving you no aid. We're going to help you develop. Now, versus the West, France and all them, they come in about, we'll offer you security and aid. And IMF, World Bank, all them cats, those ain't numbers just too, you know, just ripping people off. And so they tired of it. That's why the youngsters over there, the average age coming up like 19. So they finna rise, and everybody recognizes it. So and so I'm saying that, but we got to get our foreign policy straight. We can't be doing for what they're doing over there in Israel right now. Let them just do that slaughter thing they're doing. I mean, so the bottom line is we still have an opportunity, America, to lead the world another kind of way. Remember, Rome didn't fall. It turned to the Catholic Church, and it kept on doing what they was doing.
Yeah.
So you hear America's gonna fall, you know, you think collapse. That's not what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen? You've got these two economies that's starting to come together. Now, some folks, you know, the industrial complex, military industrial complex, they love to have a war. Of course, you know, they make stuff. They like to kill people. So that's what they would like to do. But the people, and that's over here too, we don't want no war. Right? We don't want to fight no war over no economic stuff. We're not getting any of it anyway. We're not getting it. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, so I let go. You know, I know how that program goes. You know, you die, you get paid. And so I'm just saying that.
What about that Michelle Obama? Listen to this.
But for Trump, he nothing at all. No understanding of policy, no ability to put together a coherent argument, no honesty, no decency, no morals. Instead, too many people are willing to write off his childish, mean-spirited antics by saying, well, Trump's just being Trump, rather than question his horrible behavior. I hope you'll forgive me if I'm a little frustrated that some of us are choosing to ignore Donald Trump's gross incompetence while asking Kamala to dazzle us at every turn. I hope that you'll forgive me if I'm a little angry that we are indifferent to his erratic behavior, his obvious mental decline, his history as a convicted felon. A predator found liable for sexual abuse, all of this, while we pick apart Kamala's answers from interviews that he doesn't even have the courage to do, y'all. So to the men who love us, let me just try to paint a picture of what it will feel like if America, the wealthiest nation on earth, keeps revoking basic care from its women, and how it will affect every single woman in your life. Your girlfriend could be the one in legal jeopardy if she needs a pill from out of state or overseas, or if she has to travel across state lines because the local clinic closed up. Your wife or mother could be the ones at higher risk of dying from undiagnosed cervical cancer because they have no access to regular gynecological care. Your daughter could be the one too terrified to call the doctor if she's breathing during an unexpected pregnancy. This will not just affect women. It will affect you and your son. The devastating consequences of teen pregnancy won't just be borne by young girls, but also by the young men who are the fathers. They too will have their dreams of going to college. Their entire future is totally upended by an unwanted pregnancy. If you and your partner are expecting a child, you will be right by her side at the checkup, terrified if her blood pressure is too high, or if there's an issue with the placenta, or if the ultrasound shows that the embryo was implanted in the wrong place, and the doctors aren't sure that they can intervene to keep the woman you love safe. I am asking y'all from the core of my being to take our lives seriously.
That's right.
Okay. All right. That was a former First Lady. Oh, here's another one. Hold on.
Okay.
Warm up
I can hear that.
Wait.
Here are your fellow citizens he's talking about. Here in Philadelphia, they are your neighbors. They are your friends. They are your co-workers. Their kids go to school with your kids.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why this election should not be close. It should be clear. Here's a good rule. If somebody does not respect you, if somebody does not see you as fellow citizens with equal claims to opportunity, to the pursuit of happiness, to the American dream, you should not vote for them. You should not expect them to make your life better. They will not help you make them. They will not help you pay the bill. They're not going to work hard to make sure that you get a good education. They're not going to help you down payment on a house. I mean, we have to reject the kind of politics of division and hatred that we saw represented. America's ready to turn the page. America's ready for a better start. Philadelphia, we are ready.
And tonight, all right. Vice President Harris said this.
Okay, now let's hear from her.
We are fighting for a democracy and for the right of people to be heard and seen. We're not about the enemy within. We know we are all in this together. That's what we are fighting for. So I say to everyone here what you know. Generations of Americans before us fought for freedom. And now the baton is in our hands. The baton is in our hands. And I want to speak specifically to all the young leaders, all the students right here today. I want to speak to you. So I love your generation. I really do. And one of the things about it is you are rightly impatient for change. I love that about you. You are impatient for change. Because, look, you have only known the climate crisis and are leading then the charge to protect our planet and our future. You young leaders who grew up with active shooter drills, and are fighting then to keep our schools safe. You, who now know fewer rights than your mothers and grandmothers, are standing up for reproductive freedom. And for you then, I know that these issues that are at stake, they are not theoretical. This is not political for you. It is your lived experience. And I see you, and I see your power. And I know many of you are voting for the first time. Can I see a raise of hands? Who's
See, that's why I know the future of our country is bright. That's why I know. So listen, so much is on the line in this election, and this is not 2016 or 2020. We can all see that Donald Trump is even more unsafe and more unhinged, and now he wants unchecked power. And this time, there will be no one there to stop him. Not even the Supreme Court.
Coming up, clinical psychologist and niece.
Okay. All right. So those are the final stretches, Mr. Arthur, from Michigan to Pennsylvania, all over the place, that final stretch that Vice President Kamala Harris and all of her surrogates are making, the former Vice President, former First Lady, Michelle Obama, former President Obama, former President Bill Clinton, all of them are out there on the campaign trails on that last final stretch. 1 week from a little over 1 week.
Well, you nervous? I'm saying y'all need to take a rest. It's happening, so you just flow with it.
Flow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just flow with it. It's gonna be all right. Just do your part. And, you know, create the kind of world you want to see coming. I talked to y'all. I've said this a lot of times on the show, but a new reality is on the way, right? And I'm saying that whatever you want that reality to be, you need to walk like it, talk like it, act like it, be it, whatever that is. Whatever you think the next world will look like, you need to just, you know, start acting like it right now. So,
right.
And either way, and no, either way, after the election, we're still gonna have. I mean, it's still gonna be a tussle, even after the election. But it may not be as much of a tussle if we blow. If we just blow it out, if we blow it out big, then it'll be less of a tussle. If it's like tight like that, yeah. Well, that you know. You know, it's in regards to who wins, it's gonna be nasty. So we need to blow them out. So get your kin people out. Go get your
That's it. Get your kin people out. That's
uh-huh.
it. Kin people.
Get your aunt and them right. And take them on down there to the pole, and then take them to dinner afterwards. So we did the show to the polls here, Friendship West Sunday. I posted a bunch of pictures on. Okay, did I put it on the page? Okay, I'm putting it on my thread. Anyway, we did Souls to the Post, well-tenant, the Black Border Matters bus came through. Well, you know, it was a short bus. It wasn't a big bus like we had down at your place. But
you had the short bus come through. Good deal.
It was short. Anyway, but I took a picture. I saw a girl again. What's her name?
Stephanie Williams.
Stephanie. Yeah,
She's the East Texas representative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know she was up here in North, but she lived up here in North Texas. I thought, okay. So I'm gonna try to you know work with her up here with whatever I can do. Get her up here. But yes, it was a well-attended event. Got a chance to talk to Pastor Hayne a little bit. Took some pictures. I'll post some pictures on the thread a little bit later. But it was a great affair. So, hey, y'all, keep showing up. And what East Texas look like? I mean, what East Texas? Okay, look here. I need a descriptor. Now, we know what East Texas looked like when we had our Bull Connor event. You know what I'm saying? On the East Texas. Well, have we made it yet?
They're doing really good. Good as far as you're talking about as far as getting out the vote.
As far as getting out the vote.
Yeah, it's looking really good as far as getting out the vote. And now the first week, there were more Democrats that got out to vote than Republicans, but that's always to be expected because Democrats always vote during early voting, and Republicans tend to vote more on the actual election day.
Right, right, right. Well, it's exciting to be. I got my sticker.
I got my sticker too. But it's, you know, it's gonna, Mr. Arthur, it's going to be very interesting how this election turns out, considering they keep telling us that they're neck to neck, which is hard to believe that it's neck to neck.
It's not hard to believe and we talked about this before a lot of times. You got to understand, the corporation took over. The media, too. They took over. They took over a lot of stuff. They took over the media, all these, and that's big media. So what they're crafting their own narrative of the world for us. And so that's one of the – and so all that close polls, political campaigns have become multi-billion-dollar money makers. They can't make no money off of it. Ain't nothing happening if they – and so – They've sandwashed everything Trump's face, and then they got these fake polls that they come out with close to election to mix up with the other polls to make all the polls go down. So again, but it's about making money. They make money off of that, off of close races. They say they can't make no money off of a race that ain't close. And so the media is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, you know, because again, you know, you're looking around, and then you listen at them. It's neck and neck. I'm going, neck and neck. You know, and here lately they've been going, she's here by 1-2 points. Okay? So I'm just saying, so, you know, that's again, the only poll that really counts is the ones that's going to the polls right now.
Yeah.
This poll that counts.
Yeah.
Last I heard, that's what I heard this first week, over what, 40 million people voted? Nationwide.
Yep.
Yeah, over 40 million people nationwide. So they're coming out for something.
Yeah.
Now the key thing is, what are white women going to do? Are they going to do the double agent? Are they going to do the right thing? Oh, they're going to do the right thing. You know,
What do you think?
Well, I noticed that everybody lately, you hear, as we get close to the election, they talking about black men. Right? Yeah, they're talking about black men. Now, y'all need to be talking about white women. Y'all need to be talking to them and see what they're going to do. You know, y'all telling the truth of what y'all doing. Because y'all, you know, y'all done faked the funk before. You know, y'all actually going to do the right thing this time. They the ones who ought to be questioning them. You know what I mean? You know, who they going to vote for? Black men. Because here I go. If she lose, you know, United politicians, they want to blame it on black men. Just like when Hillary lost, they try to blame it on black men. And she won, look here, and she won by 3 million votes. Now how you going to blame it on black men? I mean, she won by 3 million votes, but black men read she lost. So I'm just saying, you know, we done seen this political game before. I have. And I see it coming. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, Mr. Arthur, we have quite a good number of African-American men that are voting on the GOP ticket down here that I'm astounded at the ones that we've run into and the comments that they're making, because I've been working the polls, you know.
Look here.
Go ahead.
First of all, you got to understand, we're talking about East Texas. And so...
But it hadn't been that way before. The point I'm trying to make to you is this is the year of the switch.
Yeah, I know, but now I'm saying that you may have talked to some, but I hardly think that's going to be the majority. And I'm just saying that I think that.
No way. You're right. There's not the majority, for sure.
I think it's close to giving a whole
but
lot
the,
of
But the number, has been heartbreaking, the number that have been. I mean, I can't even imagine one.
I can't. So I'm just saying, yeah, I can't. You know, because And tell you something. Clarence Thomas used to be that one back in the day.
Yeah, that's true.
We've always had that one. Come on now. You know, we got spectrum just like everybody else. We got all kinds of people in it. So I'm just saying that. That can be the advantage in the long run. That more awareness has been brought to the fact that this is how y'all think like that. And, you know, folks ain't just feeling all that. You know, y'all got to do better. You at least got to try. You separated the women from the black. It was black vote. Then it turned into women. They had a black female vote. Well, that's divide and conquer. I mean, come on. That's the same program. And the Democrats did that. The Democrats did that. And so I'm just saying, so you see like that. You say, well, okay, well, why is that happening? Well, you did that. And then the pipeline got cut off. And then when it comes time for campaigns, you don't hire no black consultants. You take us for granted, then come to us the last week, 2 weeks before the election.
Right.
And say, vote again. Well, have you run that program so many times?
I know.
I'm just saying, you can't blame folks for getting tired. You might have told you about that time when I got so disgusted with the Democratic Party here in Texas because they weren't even trying. I forget this Hispanic guy that ran for governor that year. He was ridiculous.
Who was it that ran?
It was this Hispanic guy that had run for governor 1 year. I can't think of his name.
Okay.
And kicked me out so bad because I saw the Democratic Party wasn't even trying to win, nothing. And so I got so ticked off, I voted for John Cornyn that year. Yeah, I kind of blew my top.
You sure did blow your top, pal. Because what did he do for you after you gave him that vote, after you gave away
in 2004, wasn't nobody doing nothing for us. Nobody.
Let me tell you what I was doing. I was at war serving this country. While you slept, I was at war.
And France wasn't none of them doing nothing for us. Well, France at the time, Democrats wasn't doing that. Club wasn't doing that. It was just, wow. I'm out here in the sea by myself, just floating around.
The people that run this country are supposed to be doing for you are the senators and especially the senators. And John Cornyn has not done anything for black folk in Texas since he's been in office.
We had no politicians in Texas do nothing for blacks since they've been in office. We got a few.
True.
Well, I'm just saying, we talking about senators, we ain't got none. I can't think of none.
Senators are the ones, we know who's held the position.
Yeah.
How many black senators do we have in the United States of America? One. We had two when we had Vice President Kamala Harris Cory Booker. Senator Cory Booker, now we got one. Well, I know that the Hispanic gentleman took over Vice President Harris's position in California. We got one black person that's a senator in the United States.
What about Warnock in the Senate?
Oh, I'm sorry, two. That's right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Two. We have two now. We have two now. That's right.
Six.
Please excuse me. Yeah, we have Warnock. And even though their votes count for everybody in the country, but they work for their own areas, for their own districts.
Their own states, I should say.
Even though their vote is for everybody in this country.
No, it's about Texas in 2004. And I'm telling you, what nobody doing nothing.
But in 2004, we didn't have
Man, we weren't getting nothing.
We had no representation.
The system was rigged. We had no representation here in the thing.
So I would have skipped right over that name. That I skipped over that.
Well,
I voted for Cornwall. Sure.
It was out of pure frustration. I could have either did that or I could have did something else. Well, I figured that was the most. I was just going to click that. Okay, now take the Democrats. Now what y'all going to do? Well, it must have worked. Look like they're doing better. It must have worked. Look like they're doing better.
Yeah.
And I kept working in my community as far as, like, you know, working polls and doing
right.
those stuff. So I continue to work. I'm just saying at some point.
This we do know. All politics are local, so I would be working on my city council and my county commissioners. Those are the ones
mm-hmm.
closest and dearest
yeah.
when it comes to getting things done for our community.
Yeah, I spoke at the school board meeting last Thursday.
And your school board meeting. Is that what was on your agenda? What was on the agenda for your school board?
Well, I wanted to speak about the lack of retention of the black teachers here in DISD, you know, and the lack of hiring of black folks in the district.
Okay.
And I told them about it for the teachers. I told them about, you know, how when Hen Hoster came in, our first Hispanic superintendent, you know, how he got rid of a lot of black teachers, and then they went all overseas, Spain, everywhere else, brought in these teachers. I said, that was right after he gave away our desegregation order. And he promised us some things. We didn't get it. He went and brought the teachers in, you know, special program. I said, we haven't got nothing since we gave up desegregation program. So where is our special teacher program, retention program, you know, for our black
mm-hmm.
teachers? We need one, too. And so talking about a couple of things. But that was my main point. When it was, hey, you know what? You know, y'all got to do better. You know, hey, you know, we ain't, you know, we on the bottom of all the metrics, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
we got the segregation order. You know, we had resources.
Right.
You know, we
right.
gave them. I didn't get Ron Price and Case Thomas gave them up. But anyway, you know, they gave that up under the guise of promise we were going to be getting some kind of programs for our kids within the context. We ain't got a thing.
Right. You got a thing, huh?
We ain't got a thing. So anyway, so I'm going to be probably pressing them on that.
Okay.
Sure we did met with the, you know, about the highway, about the most dangerous highway in America. You know, it goes through Oak Cliff here in Dallas. That better. I met with them, so they have lowered the speed limit to 40. They put in some sidewalks in. They moved some of the bus stop routes things, and they're gonna, you know, supposed to be doing some other stuff. And so we went to that
yeah.
meeting, and you know, gave them 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah, look here. This guy said something weird that I'm gonna, because I'm gonna speak to city council, he said something about. They use, when it comes to highways and stuff like that, he said they use the European, or he said European liability model. He said some kind of European model. But anyway, look here, check that. And he hasn't said this. No, this model, what it does is, like, they build stuff, and then they wait for stuff to go wrong. I guess a lot of people get killed. And then they fix it.
Right.
Have you heard anything like that? Now I was in the military, like, you ain't never heard no. Have you ever heard anything like that as far as safety is concerned?
You said they let things go wrong so that they can fix
uh-huh.
it.
When they build something like road, highway, stuff, they let you know, like they wait till, yeah. I guess they wait somebody have a wreck or something, they get, you know, then they go and fix it. I mean, that's what it sounds. And I had never heard of nothing like that.
And even if they know that it needed to be fixed before the wreck happened, is that what you're saying?
No, the philosophy is, you know, they build it, they don't know what's wrong with it. You know, and they wait for you to tell them.
Okay, no. And to switch gears, Mr. Arthur, I got a chance to spend some time with your mayor when I was at the Texas Municipal League Conference. This month in Houston.
Okay. Did you wash your hands afterwards?
Oh, you said did I wash my hands?
Apples.
So tell me. Okay. You have a female mayor, right? Black female mayor.
No, we got Eric Johnson.
Oh, no, Dallas. That's in Dallas. Oh, I forgot you were in Dallas. No, I'm sorry. Why did I think you lived in Lancaster?
I live in Lancaster, but we got a male mayor out here. We got a woman.
In Lancaster, don't you have a black female mayor?
We got a black female city manager.
I thought said she was mayor.
Dark and pecker lady?
Hold on just a second. I'm going to pull a picture up and send it to you.
Okay. Yeah,
go ahead.
I went down there on my dog bite on the inauguration night. Remember when I went out and talked to him about my dog bite?
That's your dog bite?
Yeah, the guy coming there, right? Yeah, because I spoke kind of
less. Oh, yes, I know about your dog bite, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that particular night, they were being inaugurated, sworn in. And they were going to talk about the shiny city on the hill. And, you know, all that Ronald Reagan talk. You know, Lanks of the shiny city out here. And then I have to go and squash their bubble. No, it ain't.
Oh, no, she's your mayor pro tem. Like, she's the same as me. Betty Gooden.
Okay.
You know her?
Betty Gooden or Betty Davis?
Betty Gooden Davis. Davis is her last name. Betty Gooden. I'm looking at her name tag. I took a picture of it. Betty Gooden Davis.
Oh, yeah, that's my councilman.
Yeah, she's the mayor. Is she? Okay. Yeah, she's the mayor pro tem.
Oh, yeah, she's my councilman, yeah. I know her. Yeah, I know her. Sure do.
Okay. I got a chance to spend some time with her. I'll send you the picture.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Very nice lady. And of course, DeSoto.
Well, I know y'all didn't talk about dog bites, so otherwise my name would have come up.
No, we didn't talk about the dog bite. I sent you a picture, a photograph of us all together. But DeSoto Council
What do mayor pro tems talk about when they get together anyway like that?
running for mayor. I talked about running for mayor.
Well, I hope you talk. Well, I hope you talked her into running for mayor too.
Mm-hmm.
We needed that
So who's your mayor out there in Lancaster?
Oh, I spent a lot of time forgetting his name.
You're so funny. I hope it works for you.
So you have a
Caucasian male?
No, he's a black male.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. Okay.
It's kind of hard to tell with them dogs of the Confederate all wrapped around his neck.
Oh, my.
Guess what I said.
Really?
We got a little Confederate symbol left out here from, see, like, Lancaster was a ammunition depot during the Civil War.
Okay.
So they got a little monument thing around that to it.
Okay.
So they're his biggest fan, them are Confederate people, ladies. But I'm going, Lord have mercy. You know what I mean? I'm talking to you today. So anyway, you know, we're gonna have to address it at some point. It needs to go somewhere.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we can put a thing there and say Army Depot or whatever. But that Confederate stuff needs to go.
Right.
You know, right there. And so, you know, in a town that turned black.
Yeah, because you have a large population of African Americans out there, right?
I didn't know I was leading the charge.
Well, I don't know why you're surprised. Don't know. You're in Dallas County, but you actually live in, but your address says Lancaster. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm also still working on my Encore issue down in Ennis, Texas. Where
down East Texas? Mm-hmm.
No, Ennis, right. Texas.
Ennis, that's right.
Yeah, where I'll tell you about they're building this electric generator, big electric generator right down there, right next to the park where I'm a president of the multi-purpose community center park. And so they got, and so they found they're going to build a, electric generator right there and houses all around there. I'm going, come on now, Uncle. So anyway, so we're finally complaining about that next week. Well, with this week. We're finally complaining about it this week with the EPA, racial, environmental racism complaint. I hear some people say, you always try. I say, hey, look, I'll be minding my own business. This stuff be coming finding me. I'll be just minding my own business.
It can find you.
Yeah.
well, you always did like good trouble.
Well, yeah, I mean, good trouble is always fun to mix up with, but I'm just saying, I ain't got no sign out in front of my house saying, good trouble, come here. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
goodness. You don't have a sign that's calling your name out there.
No, I ain't got no sign out there, but it don't need no sign. It don't need no sign.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end. It's 9:52, and we didn't get Pastor Cooper in to share a little conversation with us.
Yeah,
so,
he's been kind of busy too. he's been kind of busy. I'm glad to see how Dr. Carr's thing come out.
I didn't. What came out? I didn't. I don't know about it. Tell me.
I'd be interested to see how it's going to come out.
Next
week.
And me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his as well.
That's
so.
Right. We got one more week to see what happens. Well, we're prayerful about everything working out on his behalf. We need to see some real changes in this country, Mr. Arthur. I guarantee you, and I do believe that the changes are coming. They're coming. I believe that. I believe in every aspect of the political process. Go ahead.
We are the change.
And let's see.
No, I'm saying we are the change.
We are the change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
black.
Well, we got black. Colin Allred that's on MSNBC right now, and he's out of Houston. It's 9:53, and he's campaigning out there in Houston, Texas. And we see a lot of people that we recognize that was on the screen out there. That some of my sorority sisters that I know very well, that's front row center out there. And, if we could have gotten away, we would have gone, Mr. Arthur, and been
some nice shots of the situation. It was a lot of energy in there.
A lot of energy. It reminded me, it took me back to the Stella Awards back in, I can't even remember the year that Beyonce went independent from Destiny's Child. We were at the Stella Awards, and I interviewed Beyonce and the Stella, well, the Destiny's Child, that group, they were disbanding that year, and Beyonce was going independent with her first song.
Oh, you interviewed?
Interviewed Destiny's Child, that included Beyonce.
So now that means that I hang out with somebody that interviewed Destiny's Child now. Okay.
and somebody that interviewed Beyonce. So I know the two of them were together in down in Houston. So I sent a message out to my sister because it was in Atlanta, Georgia. The Stella Awards is always in Atlanta, Georgia. It was freezing cold that day, that week. weekend that we were down there. It was we went on Thursday and stayed down there until Sunday. It ended on Sunday. And I was talking to my sister about it, how cold it was, because she came over. She had not been that long moved to Atlanta, so she came over to be with us and attended all of the festivities. It was a big to-do. But we interviewed them backstage before they came out on stage to perform. Mm. So we were all in the green room back there. It was outstanding. It was really, really a great event and a great experience for me because I had never attended the Stella Awards before. That's big. Oh. That's big stuff. And then, of course, when I was inducted into the National Black Radio Hall of Fame, that was also in Atlanta. I could not go to because I couldn't get away. I'd just gotten on council, so I couldn't get away. So my nephew, who is in filming, and he's worked closely with Tyler Perry there in Atlanta, he accepted the awards in my behalf.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well. And that's when I got the accommodations from President Joe Biden. So that was that. Well, you got any final comments, Mr. Arthur, Go ahead.
I just want to say that I enjoy, I'm enjoying my vicarious living through you.
Yeah. Oh, stop. That's pretty cute. Well, it's only the grace of God that he's placed me in places that I never even thought about being in those places and spaces. Was never on my bucket list, and so that's just gravy, Mr. Arthur, that these things have come about. So I'm thankful for
that.
Well,
you deserve, your energy puts you there, so that's where you're supposed to be.
Okay, well, I received that. Well, so okay, it was great for the evening. We didn't get Pastor Cooper in there, and so tell you, Mr. Arthur, we must pause to try to catch up with Dr. Hagney as well. I've been trying to reach out to Dr. Hagney and not getting a response, and so our prayers are with him. I know he was a little bit under the weather for quite some time, and so we're just prayerful that he's feeling all right and he's healing properly. And all of that. He had a lot of great work that was going on, and so I don't hear of the work that Dr. Hagney has been involved in for quite some time, and so that's why it's concerning for me. Go ahead.
Last time we were talking, I've been saying, we're talking about the healthcare system. He said, we got to get rid of the whole thing.
You want to start all over again.
We got to start all over.
No. Former President Barack Obama has done a great job to kick us off in health care and improving the lives of people. So we just can improve upon it, but we don't want to have to start all over. It's a lot of work to try to start all over with a whole brand new piece. Go ahead.
Like, I think you're talking about an era of fairness and you know, that type of stuff. That's what he was talking about.
Okay, I got you. Okay, well, it's 9:59. We're going to invite Mr. Brianna to come on back in and get us ready to end for the evening. And we look forward to people getting out there to the polls, and so that we can get some results that we're looking for next Tuesday night this time. It'll be 10 o'clock this time next Tuesday night, a week from tomorrow, and hopefully that we'll have some results. Right, Ms. Arthur?
Go vote.
That's all. We vote. Take somebody else to vote with you, and then have those people to take somebody to vote. And let's all get out to the polls and vote.
See you vote. Take your kids.
Take your children. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Our parents used to throw us in the back seat of the car and go down to the Masonic Hall. I never shall forget it. On Highway 110. Right down the street from our land, and vote.
Talk to them about voting.
Yes, they did. Okay. All right, and now we're going to turn it over to Ms. Rihanna. It's 10 o'clock, and we say once again, happy birthday to Greg. Hope you had a great dinner and great evening, and we look forward to seeing you right back here again on next week on Marvelous Monday. Thank you. Have a good night, Mr. Arthur.
Good night, Sal. Good night, everybody. Enjoy the show, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to spend time with my frat brother. All right. So, Miss Rihanna, we're waiting for our song.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Been a pleasure to be with you on Marvelous Monday. There are 45.5 million citizens that have voted for this election. So we encourage you, Early voting is in Texas. Get out to the polls to vote. Carry somebody with you and vote like you've never voted before. Thank you. May God bless you. And we'll see you on next Monday, on Marvelous Monday. Thank you, Mr. Arthur. Have a good night. Bye for now.